Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Hi there, it is that time of the week again for a new episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy. I'm Kim Stewart.
And I'm Hazel Fruitman.
And today we are here with a part two, mobile marketing versus mobile apps. Which one is right for your business? So just to start, this could potentially be our shortest podcast episode ever. If you don't already have a huge user base, it's almost impossible to make the math for doing your own app work out. Essentially, the 5% of your customers that will install your app, keep your app, and use your app, okay, you're right, Hayes, it is more like 1%,
thank you,
is not enough to make your app work. And we talked about this in a previous episode. I think it was number 9. We'll check and see. You can go back in the archives and have a look at it. Before we get into the episode itself, Hazel is going to take 2 minutes, explain how mobile marketing using phones versus an app works. If you've heard it before, skip ahead to the 3 minute mark. If you haven't heard it before, here we go.
Here we go. So mobile wallet marketing is direct access and marketing communication tool for customers using their mobile phones. So a mobile wallet pass sits in Apple Wallet and can be used for a variety of ways.
Or some different generic Android wallets.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. We use a pass for our podcast. We use the product called Podcast Marketer. So this pass has a front and a back to it. And on the front, we have our title, Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy. We have our logo and headline.
Latest episode.
Which gets updated right on your lock screen. And on the back of the pass, we have all our listen links. We have our contact links, call to action links. You don't even have to remember my email or my phone number. It's like right there on the back of the pass.
And from the back of the pass, if I want to call you, I tap once, the phone opens up and starts calling you. If I want to see your Facebook page, I tap that link. If I want to do any call to action that you're giving me that the phone recognizes as an app, whether it's a Maps, a phone dialer, a YouTube player, a Vimeo player.
That's right.
Any of those things, it just launches it and off it goes.
Off it goes. And they can be used for different things. You have your campaign, your digital marketing campaign you use with our mobile wallet. You have a business card, you put that right in the mobile wallet. Event tickets, guess where it goes? Right in the mobile wallet.
It does. And this is the exact same place that the younger crowd, the under 35s, are using to pay with Apple Pay. It's where pretty much any of us who fly on a regular basis with a reasonable airline like United or Southwest or American or Delta are using to store our boarding passes. I cannot tell you how absolutely fantastic it is when I go to the airport. Because we left San Francisco and moved to Phoenix, and I'm a United flyer, I go nowhere besides LA and San Francisco nonstop on United. So every time I go somewhere, it requires a change of planes. And I'm not willing to give up my United status, so I'm just going to change planes.
Right.
When I get to the airport in Phoenix, the boarding pass for Phoenix pops up on my phone.
Yes.
When I get to the gate in San Francisco or Denver or LA, that boarding pass pops up on my phone because passes are smart. They're location and proximity aware, and they know how to do what they're supposed to do at the time and the place they're supposed to do it.
That's right. And if you ever go on our Twitter feed, you'll see real live updates of what it looks like on the phone. Because I do that all the time. I put them on there.
Absolutely.
So, and I just checked. I just want to let you know that it is episode 9, which is part 1, mobile wallet marketing versus mobile app marketing.
Cool. If you haven't already listened to that episode, as soon as you're finished with this one, go back and take a listen to it. We've got some more technical details in that older episode that we're not going to cover again today. And there are some really good use case examples in there that we won't be rehashing again today as well. So now that we've gotten that bit of necessary information out of the way, let's get back to the part 2 topic of the episode. Mobile marketing or mobile app for marketing? What should you do?
Right. I guess the bigger question there too is how big is your client list, your customer base, or your prospects? I mean, let's be realistic. If you're Starbucks, you're pretty big. If you're Safeway, you're big. United, as Kim mentioned, you have a big user base. Even Sephora has a really big user base. So what if you own your own business and you have, and it has 10 locations or less, and while you do a great business, you don't have at least 100,000 people that frequent your establishments on a regular basis?
Okay, ask yourself this question as well. Do you provide a service that can be accessed more easily with an app than without one? Now, by that, I mean, do you have an order and pay via mobile situation that doesn't rely on iTunes or Google Play, where you actually send somebody to a page with Stripe and they're going to do their credit card, or PayPal where they're going to do a credit card? Or do you maybe own Pokemon Go or Angry Birds? That's sort of the qualifier. I mean, sorry about bursting the collective bubble of thousands of app developers and app development services everywhere, but the truth is, so few people end up using almost any app that there is very little use for the bulk majority of the 2 million plus apps that are in the App Store right this minute. It's almost impossible to be discovered as well.
Right. So what is the draw for having a standalone app? Well, it's not so much, in our humble opinion. It's just like that time someone sold you the need for a website back in 2003 that was going to revolutionize sales for your business. Now, how is that working out for you? That's not so much the way of must-have apps for small and medium-sized businesses that can't be overcome by common sense and budgeting.
That's right. Common sense and budgeting is what this boils down to. Build an app, support an app. Build a beast, support a beast. So if you want to spend your time as a business owner, being a technology person who deals with app developers, who's constantly worried about whether or not your app is up to date with security, with the latest OS, with the latest screen sizes, blah, 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 which kind of takes away from running your business. It turns you into not a business person, but an IT person. And that's, frankly, not something anybody I know other than IT people want to do.
Right, because you're not in the app business.
So you do, however, need a mobile strategy. You cannot run your business today and compete effectively without a decent mobile strategy. This does not mean that you need to bet your mortgage on some Facebook ads, or that you've got to go broke and spend your kids' college tuition money trying to figure out AdWords.
Right. I mean, what you want to do is identify the parts of your business that can be mobilized into something that helps your prospects decide that they want to do business with you. We know, like, we hear it all the time. Stop selling, build community, think about shoppers' journey. The customer experience is everything, but where does it end? Mobile first isn't just a hashtag. It's a real honest-to-goodness method to the madness that should make your customer feel like you're trying to understand them when they might be there in their decision to make a purchase, and that you're trying to help them through their path, not to force them to just buy something for you.
You know, strangely enough, we see and have seen over the past 20 years, which is how long we've been doing online marketing.
Don't eat yourself. It hasn't been 20 years for me quite yet.
It's been 20 for me like 2 months ago. We see a ton of people who are trying to sell things online, and they don't even necessarily understand what online sales are or should be, at least not from a customer perspective. You know, this idea that you can just put up a sales page and people are going to see it and they're going to buy something, I would say it doesn't work anymore, but the bottom line is it has never actually worked that way. You will waste more time, effort, and money than you will ever recover by going the route of trying to set something up only to make sales. Especially today, there's too much information freely available, customer reviews, you know, customer star ratings, word of mouth. There's so many things out there that actually work against you if you simply try to set up a sales page and bombard it with traffic from one source or another.
Yeah, so how can you identify a customer and determine what information you should be providing at various points in their journey? When are they in the research stage and when are they about to buy? What can you do to trigger the emotional response that they want to feel so they can feel like making a purchase from you?
I mean, you know, this applies to things large and small.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether somebody is looking to, well, I'll give you two instances in our household.
Sure.
So Mike has a bad back. He's had two surgeries on it.
Yes.
He has one of these Home Medics back massager things that he lays on and it automatically does, you know, his lower back, his neck, whatever. Sure. Well, he has broken it and it's only barely hanging on by a thread. Mm-hmm. But he likes that model and he wants that model and it's like a $40 thing. So finding that on the smaller end of the scale, going around seeing who's got it, shipping this, that, and the other, okay, that's an emotional response for him. We've been to Bed Bath & Beyond and Brookstone and all these other places. They don't have exactly what he wants. He wants the old one and you can only get it online.
Right.
So that's one place where it's a small purchase and his emotional trigger for buying it isn't going to the store and looking at the bright, shiny new one. He wants what he knows and he needs to find it and get on with it. So inventory control and inventory availability, that's one good thing. The other one that's like on the complete opposite end of the scale is we're buying a house.
Yes, you are.
Well, we're trying to buy a house. We're trying to buy the house that we want. And we ended up in a jam with this through no real fault of our own, though there was some procrastination on our part. And rather than having all the time in the world to be able to get this done, we got put into a situation where all of a sudden we have to get this done and we have to get this done in a very short amount of time. So all of these things that are emotionally, you know, for us, we've tried to take the emotion out of it.
Right.
But, you know, this is a big purchase. This is hundreds of thousands of dollars that we're looking at. And we find that some of the available material is so very different online. And, you know, it's like we have a lot of realtor customers and they, as a general rule, tend to hate Zillow. But the way that Zillow is set up to make it so simple and easy for the consumers to find available options, even if sometimes the information isn't quite up to date, it's so much easier than the MLS or multiple listing service portal, for instance. So our real estate agent, she set us up with a portal. I'm sure it works great, but we don't have the ability to control the parameters of the search because Arizona MLS isn't set up like that. So every time we want to change, even if it's just we'd like to look three blocks to the east, we have to email her or call her and get her to change our search. Whereas with something like Zillow, which is set up to be consumer friendly, it's all right there and we can change all of our parameters. So having an app from Zillow while we're driving around, that makes sense. But again, they have millions and millions of users, giant budget. An app works for them. So how do you identify a customer and decide what information you should be providing at various points in their journey? You asked this question before I launched off into all my tales of things we're buying or not buying around here. You can't do it with an app that no one is going to use. That's for sure. When you find a way to provide people with information and answers at the point they most need it, you're earning a place in their heart and their mind. And that's how you're successful. Now, I will tell you this. None of the houses that we have looked at were listed by agents or brokerages that work with us. So every time we show up at a house, we get no information about the house other than either Zillow, MLS Online, or the printed copies of stuff that our realtor carries around as a backup. I think to myself, God, wouldn't it be super nice if we walked up to the door of this house and because we knew that we liked it and we already had it in our phone because we've already pre-qualified it in our own little way before we ask her to take us to look at it, wouldn't it be great if when we got there, a little welcome message popped up and it said, oh, by the way, price decrease of X, or, oh, by the way, check out the new kitchen. Just some sort of thing that would jog the memory and give you a reason to remember what was going on, because when you're looking at 10 houses a day, everything turns into a blur super, super quickly. Now that is perfect mobile wallet ad, mobile marketing ad territory. You're not trying to give somebody a big giant search function. You right. simply want to give them information about where they are at the time and the place.
Right, and that's all part of the journey.
Yes. It is. Given the amount of time that people spend on mobile, it should be the largest part of the journey. That is so, so much. You know, we're driving around, we're looking for somewhere to eat. We're doing it on mobile. We're driving around, we're looking for somewhere to get a vacuum cleaner belt. We're doing it on mobile. We're doing everything on mobile. Who's not doing it on mobile?
That's what I want to know.
Exactly. So, you know, what's the takeaway here? Doing it on mobile, make sure you're there when they arrive. Gives you a big leg up over your competition.
It does.
What was the, was it number 9? Let me just double check that.
I did look that up. It was episode 9, part 1.
Okay, so that's mobile wallet marketing versus mobile app marketing. Again, we've got some good case examples in there. Not going to rehash them all here other than the personal stuff, blah, blah. So that's kind of, is that it for this episode?
That is it for this episode.
So thanks so much for listening. Awesome. Have a great week. We'll see you in 2.